Please join me in opening your Bible to Luke chapter 23. If you've picked up a Bible in the foyer, you'll find this on page 884. We'll be reading the verses 39 to 46. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, that is the Lord Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Our text is Luke 23:46. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Let us pray before we consider this passage together. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we will soon hear your word proclaimed, may your word speak to our hearts, and may our hearts be receptive to your word. May your Spirit help us all, for without your Spirit we will not be able to understand your truth. If there are any here who do not know you, please use the word preached to open their hearts to the gospel, that they may repent of their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. By your grace, please transform our lives and enable each one of us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. For in his name we pray. Amen. It was many months ago that we began the series on the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus on the cross. This afternoon, we come to the last of these. In verse 46, it is recorded that Jesus said in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. This series of sermons was prepared by the Reverend John Haviland from the Reformed Church of Pukekohe. To refresh our memory, the six sayings already considered are, regarding those crucifying him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To the thief on the cross, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." To Mary, his mother, and John, his disciple, Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." The fourth, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Fifth, "I thirst." Sixth, "It is finished." And today we consider the seventh, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Let us give our attention to our text and consider the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross for our salvation, undeserving though we are. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in central Dunedin, there is a cemetery, and on one of the gravestones in that cemetery, you can read this inscription: "Stop, traveller, stop, ere you go by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare yourself to follow me. This is a striking little poem. It reminds each one of us that we will die, and it urges us to face it, to think about it, and to prepare for it. Yet many people don't want to think about death. Our Western culture is fearful of aging, death, and dying. People want to live a long time, but no one wants to be old. They will do everything they can to live longer, but at the same time look younger. People don't even like to use the word death or died. So we have all these euphemisms of death, pleasant ways of describing death. We say, he passed away. He gave up the ghost. He departed this life. He is no more. He went to sleep. This fear of death has been in many societies. Epicurus in ancient Greece said, the death is the most terrifying of all ills. In China, people were afraid to mention death in case they invited it. Louis XV, King of France, forbade people to mention the word in his presence. Christians, however, do not fear death like this. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher of the 19th century, said, the best moment of a Christian's life is his last one, because it is the one which is nearest heaven. This is what we believe, and we believe this because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Just as Jesus, when he died, committed his spirit to his Father, we too can do the same. We can die with peace, hope, and even joy because we know where we are going. This is the comfort and hope expressed in these last words of the Lord Jesus just before he died. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus called out these words with a loud voice. It was an announcement, a declaration, an expression of a decisive victory and a confident hope. As we consider the death of Jesus and his dying words, we will see that he died voluntarily, secondly, physically, and third, joyfully. First of all, he died voluntarily. Jesus died of his own free will. In John's Gospel, we read of Jesus talking to the Jews and explaining that he would lay down his life and take it up again. We read in John, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from the Father. Jesus did not die because of the plots of the Jews or because of the might of the Roman Empire. No, he died out of his own free will. It was his choice, his decision. We see that in the words he used. The word commit means to hand over or to deliver. It describes an active choice Jesus made. He was in control of the situation. He had done all he had to do, and now that his work was finished, he was ready to die. So when he had said this, he breathed his last. The other gospel writers tell us that he gave up his spirit. None of the gospel writers say he died. Not because they wanted to avoid that truth, not at all. The writers of the letters of the New Testament freely speak of the death of Jesus and tell us he died. Rather, the gospel writers want us to see the death of the Lord Jesus was unique. It was unusual. This was no ordinary death. There was something special going on here. Right to the very end, Jesus retained consciousness and was in command of himself. He was in control and he died of his own choice, voluntarily. He gave up his spirit in an active decision. This reminds us of the great love of Jesus for his people. He chose to come down into this world to die for his people. This is what we remember in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and at Easter, that Jesus died in the place of all who believe, that he died as the ultimate sacrifice for sin, that his death atoned for the sin of all believers, those who believe in him, all believers. He died for sin in full. In Romans we read, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For you, for me, for us who believe in him. Charles Wesley responded in the hymn that we sung, Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Secondly, we see that he died physically. Jesus died bodily and physically. He had to die to bear the full punishment of sin and to suffer all its terrible consequences. The Heidelberg Catechism asks, why did Christ have to go all the way to death? And the answer is because God's justice and truth demand it. Only the death of God's Son could pay for our sin. To pay the full price for sin, Jesus had to become a man like us with a full human nature, and he had to die as we will. He had to make a full payment for sin and follow it through to the very end. He left nothing out. He did everything that was necessary for our salvation. He died, his soul went to be with his Father in heaven, and his body went into the tomb. We should note that while physical death is one of the consequences of sin, not every believer has died or will die. For instance, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God had taken him. And Elijah did not die, but was taken by the Lord in a fiery chariot. And the believers who are living when Jesus returns will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air and will be suddenly transformed. So not every believer will experience physical death. Most will, but not all. We should also note that physical death is not the worst part of the punishment for sin. People today are being taught to die, how to cope with it, how to face death. But this is misleading in many ways, because physical death is only part of dying. The real punishment for sin is eternal death, the punishment of hell, and no amount of tutoring from others can help us face this. The only way to escape this is to know and believe that Jesus went through hell for you and for me, that he endured the torment of hell for his people. Again, let's go back to the Catechism, because that expresses this so well. It says, why does the creed add he descended into hell? To assure me in times of personal crisis and temptation, that Christ my Lord, by suffering unspeakable anguish, pain, and terror of soul, especially on the cross but also earlier, has delivered me from the anguish and torment of hell. This is what Jesus did for all believers. He went through the torment of hell and the physical death of his body. He left nothing out. He endured all the consequences of sin for us. We will still have to die, but our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus could do that. Rather, our death is part of the consequences and punishment for sin, with exceptions we mentioned earlier. When God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden, he warned him that if he disobeyed, he would die. And after he sinned, God told Adam he would return to the ground, saying, "For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So in a graveside service, we commit the body of the loved one who has died to be buried, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our earthly body that it may be like his glorious body. So physical death is part of the consequences of sin. All of us will die unless the Lord returns soon. But death is unnatural. Unless it goes against the grain. It is breaking of the unity of the body and soul. It separates us from the person we loved. But despite all this, believers do not grieve as those that have no hope. The sting of death has been removed. The sting of death is sin and its punishment. Our God has removed that sting through the death of Jesus on the cross. So we say, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All this is ours because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, who died voluntarily and physically. Thirdly, we see that Jesus died joyfully. Notice that Jesus addressed his Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke records the first, second, and seventh words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. The first words were a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After that, Jesus no longer addressed his Father in this way. In his darkest hours of suffering, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was a distance there between Father and Son. But once the price had been paid and he had been brought through hell, that closeness returned. Once again, he could say, Father. Jesus addressed his Father using the words of the Psalms. He had lived with the words of Scripture. Now he died with these words. He lived quoting the Scriptures, and now he died quoting the Scriptures. They came naturally to him because he knew them so well. These words came from the Psalm of David, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." That had been the motto of David's life and now become the motto of Christ's death. These were his last words. These words are from Psalm 31, which our brother Andy read earlier, and they were well known by the people of Israel in Jesus' day. They were the first prayers a Jewish mother taught her children. As the children of the family would prepare for bed, they would lie down on their mats and pray, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." In this prayer, they expressed their trust that the Lord their God would watch over them in their sleep through the night. Jesus used these words to commit his soul to the care of his Father. He had finished his work. His humiliation was over. He could now hand over his life and work to his Father in heaven. He could give up his spirit, knowing that all was completed. He was going home. He was going to his Father, to paradise. He was entering his glory. After this, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He died joyfully with confidence in his Father. Jesus said these words to himself, but also for us. All believers are united with him in his death and in his resurrection. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. Death will always be the last enemy. It will also always hold some fear, some anxiety. Think of Christian described by John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. As he came to the river of death, he was anxious and fearful. But he held to his faith and hope in God. You and I need to do the same. If we put our faith in God, then we know that death is not the end. It is a portal to heaven. It is the stepping stone to glory. It is the gateway to a new life. We know that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. He has gone before us to prepare a place for us. So we can die with faith in God, trusting and confidence in the Lord Jesus and his saving work. We can die knowing that our soul will go to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. This is why believers down through the ages in their dying moments have used similar words to commit their own spirits to the care of their Father in heaven. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, cried as he died, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So too did Polycarp in the 2nd century, Augustine in the 4th century, John Huss in the 15th, and Luther in the Reformation. If we trust in Christ, we too can use these same words. Every one of us must die, as that inscription on the gravestone in Dunedin reminds us. The unbeliever fears death, but the Christian does not. The attitude of the Christian to death is beautifully expressed by Charles Spurgeon, as in the words that we quoted earlier. He wrote, "The best moment of a Christian's life is his last one, because it is the one which is nearest heaven. And then it is that he begins to strike the keynote of the song that he shall sing to all eternity. Oh, what a song that will be." Brothers and sisters, it will be a song of praise and thankfulness to the Father and to the Lamb who was slain. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the great salvation you have given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. May your word this day govern every part of our lives and fill our hearts with joy and thankfulness. Guide us and be with us throughout this week, and so enable us to live for you, for your honour and glory. May we live a life that endears Christ to all those you put in our path. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.